Hello, and welcome to the podcast of Emmanuel Assemblies of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're so glad you've taken the time to listen. If you're ever in our area, we invite you to join us for one of our worship services. For times and locations, please visit at emmanuelag.com.
All right. Well, welcome again. So great to see everybody here tonight. Just excited to hear from Brother Jim. So without any further ado, I'm just going to ask him to come up. All right. You ready for more? Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Amen. Well, hey, it's been a real delight today already, this morning, and then just the time I've had in the back to share with some of you. It's a real wonderful place here. Amen. Very lovely people. And so we just trust the Lord tonight for his healing presence to just minister to you right where you need to be. All right? And just get with me here as we begin to get into the things of God and into the scriptures, but pay attention to the fact that the moment we start, and of course it's already started, even with the band up here just singing and worshiping God, they're not just songs. Amen. They're words believed upon that produce results. Amen. Now, there are some songs you don't want to believe the words, right? I used to sing those when I was growing up. They'd sing them about being a worm and a wretch, you know, not being worthy. Well, you believe that kind of stuff, you're not going to have the manifestation of God. It will be, you know, the enemy, obviously. But thank God, God's already here. Now, do you believe this, that God is potentially available and with us at all times? Do you believe that? Okay, that's pretty simple. Do you believe his power is potentially available and at full power at any time? Okay, at all times. So why don't we see it? Well, that has something to do with being a reception, the receptacle, okay? And that's what we're going to work on tonight, just talking about some things that open our hearts and open our minds. So if you join me in prayer, let's just ask the Lord for that specifically. Father, in your precious name, we thank you, Lord, that even with these people being very lovely and just very wonderful-hearted, Lord God, and we thank you for that. We know that that doesn't necessarily mean that we receive. So I ask you to open our hearts and our minds to you, to the spiritual experience that we can have tonight. Not a physical one, but a spiritual one. It'll end up in the flesh, but it needs to start in the spirit. And so, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds. Now, I do take authority over sickness and disease, praise the Lord, especially diabetes. We come against that tonight in the name of Jesus. It's already under the feet of Christ. He's already defeated it. We already have victory over it. We're not going to get a victory. We've got the victory. And thank you, Lord, that we have authority over the works of the enemy that Christ has already defeated. So we believe we can take our place, that if we bind on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. If we loose something on earth, it'll be loosed in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, that you show us how important our connection with you is and our inner working by faith. And we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, interesting thought. Oh, I was going to bring up. You know, I'm not into, if you look at our books and see what we sell them for, they're $10 a piece. One of them's $5. There's a tape series back there. It's a CD series. It's called Intimacy. It's all about praying in the Holy Ghost. There's 6 CDs there. I was on the Sid Ross show, and they went ahead and put those things together and then gave us all the extras. So we just sell those for $5. So there's a leather edition of the commentary that we have of the Gospel of John, because it's leather that costs more. I'm just saying that to say, if I sell everything back there, it does not change my life. Not one bit. You know, you're running a ministry, $500 or $600 does not change your life. Now, if I was 13 years old, that would be the world. Okay? So if I came here to sell books, I'm doing a lousy job, because I think we've only got 4 or 5 that have been bought. But it does help. Do you mind right while you're there at getting the white book? And why don't you just pick any other one you want? Okay, and just get that too. Just pick one. Okay, good. Why don't you bring those both up? But people can't purchase something if they wanted to, if they don't know, thank you, what it actually is all about, okay? So this morning we talked to you about the newest book that came out, which is What's Next, Papa? You say, that's kind of an interesting yes, but it comes from Romans 8:15, where Paul shows us that God wants to be our father or our daddy, because Abba, father, is a term of endearment. It's just not, hey, father. It's an intimacy. The Message Bible, it actually speaks about it as, what's next, Papa? The reason I like that is because of our grandchildren. It just kind of kicked in. You know, I had three girls. My wife and I have three girls. We still do. Amen. We have three girls. And, of course, it was a learning curve for me to play with girls. They had a parlor, and I was their subject. And they do my hair up all kinds of different ways. And then I tell them, I said, now make sure you take it all out, because daddy has to go do something that a man does. And I remember one time there were some construction workers working next to our house, building the house next to us. And I got down there with my rake, and I started working up a sweat and feeling really good. And my daughter comes out and starts laughing. Now, she was just about maybe 12, 10 or so at that time. And she's got a great laugh even to this day, my oldest. And she started belly laughing. And I said, what are you laughing at? And that kind of heat came over me like something's not right. And she said, daddy, you got two pink barrettes in your hair. And you know, I didn't even want to reach up to see if it was true. I mean, I would rather have just ignored it. But sure enough, they were fuchsia barrettes about as big as Dallas. And I said, I thought I told you girls to get them all out. And so they left those two in there. And I'm sure the men next door were wondering in question about me. But anyhow, so when we had our first grandchild, it was a boy. Oh, how awesome, you know. I mean, taught him right away how to throw. You know, I played high school, college football, and so I taught him how to throw the ball, taught him how to catch, and then I taught him how to tackle him. He's just 2 years of age, and my daughter, you know, his mom, is on the floor with one of the other little babies, and he crinkles. I told you had to crinkle up your nose if you're going to tackle. You got to look tough. And so he crinkled up his nose and took off running at her, put his head right in her chest, and she goes, what was that? And I just laughed, said, Dad. And I said, I taught him how to tackle, honey. She said, well, you have to tell me these things, you know. So I'm already enjoying that, because they can't, you know, when you're there, you know what it's like. You can't do one thing with them and say, okay, I'm done. Dad, you know, grandpa's going to sit here. You are dragged all over the house, all over the backyard, and it never stops. You need to get away just to relax. You know, you kind of forgotten what it was like, you know, how much energy is put out. Amen. But that's how it should be with God. Yeah. Do you mind if I do this for a second? How many in here have been saved for 40 years or more? All right, that's good. How many have been saved for 50 years or more? A few of you. 55. Oh, well, this side of the room is just, y'all just stay together. I see something working over here. Okay, I don't want to go any further, because I want to be, you know, the goat in this. And that's not the greatest of all times. That's a goat, okay? I want to be the bad guy in this. So I've been saved for 58 years, and I've been married for 32. And my wife and I, in 32 years, have so many experiences, because we're with each other continually and talk with each other, that I could stand up here till the sun goes down in the morning, or goes down in the evening, comes up in the morning, and wouldn't even come close to exhausting all the stories that I have or testimonies that I have. In fact, I could probably stand up here for weeks, and so could you with your spouse, because you have testimonies every day. Even right now, this would be part of your testimony. We were in a meeting, and this guy was talking, and yada, 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 okay? Testimony. So then I looked at that, and I thought, I've been saved for 20, 32, so what would that make, 26 years longer than I've been married. Can I stand here till the sun comes up in the morning and tell testimony after testimony after testimony of all the miracle signs and wonders and experiences I have with Jesus before I'd have to actually add some scripture to kind of fill in? See, I'm just going to tell you, I couldn't. I could stand here for quite some time. We've seen thousands and thousands of people healed. All kinds of wonderful testimonies. But not near close to the testimonies I have with my wife. So what am I saying? See, for the greatest, well, at least half of my saved life, a testimony wasn't even on the map. You know what I mean? It wasn't even on the radar. No one in my church growing up got any testimonies. That's why we prayed, Lord, if it be thy will, so that we'd have a way out to say, I guess he doesn't want me healed. Yet we weren't smart enough to realize that we were then going to the doctor to get out of what we believed the Lord's will was to make us sick. In other words, if it's the Lord's will for me to be sick right now, wouldn't it be better for me to die that make him even more happy? Because sickness is what's called incipient death. It's death in process. So if I believe God wants me sick, then God wants me dead. So why would I go to a doctor to get out of God's will? See, we never figure those kind of things out. But, you know, in our manner of thinking, we certainly didn't see miracles. Can't pray like that and get a miracle. You can't pray, Lord, if it be thy will, heal me when he's already taken your infirmity and bore your sickness. You have to pray with a stronger conviction. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that you've already given me. Now I'm going to see it all week long. See, now that would be a whole lot better. Because it does what? It gives honor to what Jesus actually did. Instead of putting yourself over in this ozone layer where you're just kind of hoping and praying and just going to see what happens to decide whether or not God wants you well. See, that's how I grew up. So see, my whole half of my years of being saved, it wasn't even on the radar to get a testimony. Christianity to us was going to church. It was reinforced when I was going to Sunday school. I got stars for my attendance. Come on, there's nothing wrong with stars for attendance for a young kid. But the idea was it was more important to get the star for being there than it was to have a relationship that actually worked. And I would say all the time to people, we believed in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But look up those two words, personal and relationship, and it walks away with intimacy that produces results. So put two and two together, and I should have more testimonies with Jesus than my wife. But the fact that I don't means what? That I've been swimming around in religion for years. And now that I'm starting to see this, it's so fun to begin to get some testimonies with Jesus. Not just seeing other people, but seeing in my own personal life, God touching me and working with me. Amen. So that's what we're after tonight. You got real Presbyterian in here when we said all that. I mean, you were Pentecostal for a few moments, but everybody's kind of just a little bit hunkered down like, holy smokes, yeah. Well, don't let that bother you. That's one of the reasons why we're sharing some of the things we are. The whole reason why we wrote that book, What's Next, Papa? Because it should be that fun. You know, one of the translations says, I think it's in the Passion Translation of Romans in chapter 8, I think it's verse 5. It says, come on, there's things to do and places to go. And it's the Holy Ghost that's talking. What does that seem to indicate? There's some fun things to experience. Come on, don't hang out over here in religion. Come on, there's some things for us to experience. There's some places to go. There's some things to do. I like that. Now that's Christianity. Do you think people could experience that in the old covenant? No. Couldn't have a personal relationship with God in the old covenant. It was through one of the prophets, priests, kings, or judges that were the mediators, and you couldn't touch God lest you die. And now that Jesus removed all our sin, not just yesterday's sin, tomorrow's sin. I said, brother, I don't know if I believe in future sins being removed. Since he died 2,000 years ago, they were all future. Excuse me, right? They were all future. And why would he remove all sin? So there would never be an excuse for you to say you can't come into the presence of God. See, you don't get saved by faith and then work to make your salvation work. You get saved by grace, and then you begin to experience God, and your salvation begins to blossom by the same grace.
It's not about your work. It's about your trust in his work. And that means you got to put yourself out there where God can do something for you. Well, that's a little scary. Only if you continue to look at you. If you're in the mix, it's not going to end well. If God's in the mix, it doesn't matter who's coming against you. It's always going to look really good in the end. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So one of the books that we have here called Identity Crisis, and we just made it as plain as possible, as you can see. But this is a really good book just to find out about your identity. And of course, today, people have no idea about their identity. The world obviously can't figure out something as simple as what bathroom to use, okay? So this is really good. It begins to help define what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God. It's the coolest thing in the world to figure that out. Image means representation. Likeness means manifestation. I mean, chew on that just for 10 seconds. It'll blow your mind. What do you mean? I am a representation of God and a manifestation of God. You say, what does that look like? It looks just like Jesus. Amen. Well, we could go into that and we won't. Where does God fit in? This is a real good book. All I'll say about this is the first couple of chapters, just kind of breeze through them. But when you hit about chapter 3 to the rest of the book, it's worth every bit of $10. I reread it and I thought to myself, when did I write this? And I went back and looked and I thought, I don't even know that I knew that back then. And so it's really fun to write something and have God actually help you to do it when in a sense, you're not qualified to do it yourself. I mean, I barely made it through English, high school and college. So I am not able to do this. But the weirdest thing happens, and yet it's so cool. The moment God tells me to write a book, the moment I put my hands on the computer, all I do until it's done is I dictate. It's the coolest thing. It's like every sentence comes to me, and I just write down what I hear. And then when I'm done for the day, I put my hands on the computer the next day, and it takes right off. And it's a pretty interesting experience, but we found the material to really help some folks. So praise the Lord for that. Okay, so help me right now. Remember, we left off with Enoch. By faith, he found God. Because if you remember our story, and for those that weren't here, we'll tell it really, really quickly. That lady called me that was a friend of my mom's, and her tumor has gotten worse. And she said to me, I've been praying more, I've been reading more, studying more, and I've been confessing more, and this tumor still isn't leaving. What am I supposed to do? Which is an interesting thought. And we used a parallel to say, I'm driving more, putting more gas in the car, and I'm still not to California, and it's been 4 weeks. What would you tell them? Would you maybe suggest, well, what road are you on? Wouldn't you ask that question, right? And if they said I'm on an interstate with an odd number, you would think you're going north and south, right? I mean, if they said 10, 20, 40, 70, or I-80, or I-90, you are going to get to the West Coast. But if they said, you know, I-65, I-25 out there in Colorado, I-75, which is right here, you're going to go either to Canada or you're going to end up getting wet, right? And if they're on the wrong road, wouldn't you direct them to the right road? Well, of course you would, all right? So when this lady said that, I just responded. I said, well, for the next couple of weeks. Now, one pastor got so mad at me, you know, and I called him out. I said, you know, you cannot twist what I said, and I'm not going to let you do it. I said, because I followed up telling people how important God's word is. In this case, I was helping this woman out. She's going the wrong way. And everything she's doing is causing her to be in her own way. If you want a secret to success, I know this is going to sound a little smart alecky, but can you get yourself out of your own way? God will always be God. And if you're not seeing the God that splits seas, that raises the dead, that heals the sick, that answers prayers in your life, that means you're in your own way and you're in his way. And that comes with what? Religion and tradition, doubt and unbelief. You know, a child isn't in anybody's way. If they jump and you catch them, then you better make sure you don't turn away from them or they're going to jump on your head. Do you know what I'm saying? They're unhinged in the sense that they're careful once they know you're there. They literally throw caution to the wind and they'll jump and and you got to catch them again because you didn't know that they were, well, of course they're going to do it again. Don't turn your back, right? But we get cautious. We grow up and learn how to doubt. Come on, did anybody ever see the movie Hook? All right, for some of you young ones, that was starred Robin Williams as Peter Pan. And in the movie, it starts with Peter, or Robin Williams, Peter Pan, having grown up, and he's a banker. And he's frustrated in his banking business and not doing good, and he's so busy, and he doesn't know, and the phone's going off, and where's, and he can't really function. Well, then Tinkerbell comes, and he doesn't even remember what it was like to be with the Lost Boys in Never Never Land. Do I have to go through the whole movie for you guys? But it comes down to when he finally goes back, all the Lost Boys who are so good at believing look at this older man who's stuck in the world and doesn't even know how to believe. And Peter doesn't even recognize who he is until hanging out with them, until Tinkerbell, of course, helps with the pixie dust and all that stuff goes together. And one day they're sitting at a table with nothing. And Peter grabs a spoon. There's nothing on the table. And he acts like he's dipping that spoon into mashed potatoes. And then he goes, and it appears on one of the Lost Boys, mashed potatoes. And one of the little boys goes, Peter, you're doing it. You're doing it. And what was he doing? Believing. We grow up to doubt. When we're young, we believe. And when we doubt, we're in our own way. And we got to come back to simple belief. Are y'all with me here? So we know that Enoch, by faith, found God. Why is that different in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter? We call it that because it starts out, you know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One translation, listen to this. Tell me this isn't awesome. But this lights my fire. Like I'm an all in or not at all. I don't want a little bit. I want it all. So this one translation is called the Distilled Translation. It says, now faith is betting your life on the unseen realities of God. That's totally cool. That's like walking the plank, sharks are below, and you say tally-ho and jump off knowing that God will save you. Well, what happens if he doesn't? What happens if he does? Do you know how many people have told me things like, well, you could lose your ministry. I said, good, I can do something else. Praise the Lord. And God's never let me lose it by stepping out, believing him. Amen. So, interestingly enough, in that 11th chapter, almost everybody except Enoch had an encounter with God first, and then they believed him. Does that make any sense to anybody? Think about what that means. God shows up and says, I'm God, hey, and I want you to go to a land of which you know not. And Abraham's just kind of freaking out that he's having this experience because this is not a natural being according to human standards. God is supernatural. And Abram gets his whole family together, and based on that encounter, he obeys God and goes to a land of which he knows not. And that begins Abraham's journey of becoming the father of faith. The father of what? Many people. That God, through his loins, would cause the nations to literally expand like the stars of the sky. Now, how cool is that? But here's the thing. Abraham had to rely on God visiting him. Now, once he did he believe? Oh, yeah. Because when God came to him again 20 years later, hello, 20 years later, do you think Abraham would have liked to have had it a little sooner? Probably. But we're looking at an Abrahamic covenant. Not the New Testament, Christ on the cross, died, death, resurrection covenant. The Abrahamic covenant. Moses' covenant was a little bit better than that. God would come to the tent of meeting quite often. But it was still God that appeared to Moses. Moses didn't navigate his way by faith to find God. God found him. So all these guys had experiences with God. Why do you think David was so bold against that Goliath? Well, he told you, as the Lord was with me with the bear and with the lion. Now, I'm out in Castle Rock, Colorado. It was my first year out there. I went to a golf course, and I'm just having a real nice time. And then I went to the next hole with the golf cart, and all of a sudden I'm, what is that? And it was an animal that was on the cart path, and the tail did this while it was walking. And I thought, dog's tails don't do that. And then as I got closer, oh, that's a mountain lion. Hello. So I stopped about from here to the back of the seats, and I just went, and I whistled real loud, and it turned around and saw me and jumped into a bush. You say, oh, good. Except it was the bush that was next to the next tee box that I'm teeing off of. So I got my club, went to the tee box, put it in, and then got my club, went right back into the cart because there's a lion in the bush. David went after a lion. You know, there is not a psalm that says, woe is me for the many scratches I have. Right? He's with a, have you ever taken a cat? Now, we talked about cats this morning, but have you ever had a cat and just played with it? Did you walk away with some scratches? Yes. How come David wasn't full of lacerations all over his body? He beat the lion, but the lion beat the tar out of him. Because God was with him. When's the last time you see a human being winning against a bear with a stick? See, God was real enough to David while he's out there strumming his harp. God came. And he got used to God enough that he could go after a bear and after a lion. So when it came to Goliath, he's like, this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like them. He's no match. He wasn't puffing himself up. God was real to him. And if God's not real to you, then your allegiance will be to whatever is. Let me ask you a question. Why would Peter walk on the water? Because he saw Jesus walking on the water, right? Lord, if it be you, bid me come. Well, what's Jesus going to say? No, it's not me. So what did he have to say? Peter kind of backed him into a corner. Come. And Peter gets out and walks on the water. Now, that's amazing. As long as he keeps his eyes on who? Jesus. Because remember what happened when he's right there next to Jesus, and then he decided to look at the waves and the wind. He already knew what the waves and wind were doing. They'd been fighting against the storm. But the moment he looked at it, isn't it interesting that the power of the Holy Spirit to hold him buoyant on the water, the moment he looked at something else, the elevator began to go down. It went down one floor, went down two floors, went down three floors, and all of a sudden he cried out, realized, oh, God. And he looks back at Jesus, and the elevator goes, look, think of that. The mind went to that which is of this world, and it caused what was of God to just begin to seep out. So the miracle became less and less and less and less and less. And as soon as he got his eyes on Jesus, it went right back up to the top. Interesting, isn't it? So what does it seem to say about how real Jesus was? And then the benefit is the kind of miracle you walk in. Because help me with this. When Jesus was allowed himself to be taken by the Roman soldiers to be led away for this crucifixion, how bold was Peter then? Come on, he hid. And he went to warm himself. And one of the little girls said, hey, aren't you one of the ones that follow Jesus? And he lied about it. Where was all his boldness then? It was with Jesus. Where was Jesus? Been taken captive. So now how come he doesn't have boldness? Because the boldness was in the proximity and the awareness of Christ. Now, what happened on the day of Pentecost? Because there you got a little chicken. Ba-bak! Yep, that's right. That rooster crowed to show Peter that he was chicken. And here they are all up there in the upper room. And a mighty wind blew in that room and cloven tongues as a fire sat upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And man, I'll tell you what, the power of God came upon them. And they didn't look like they were actually natural or normal. They looked like maybe it was the 3 o'clock happy hour. And it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And so everybody thought they were drunk. And Peter gets up and addresses all these same people and more with such boldness. Why? Because the power of the Holy Ghost came upon him. And that power had the same cologne as what Jesus wore. Come on, when the wind blows, you smell things. If somebody's in front of you and it's blowing from them to you and they have something nice on, that's nice. But if you're in the wrong direction and it's not nice, man, right? And what they smelled when that wind came in that upper room and cloven tongues of fire sat on him, they said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. They smelled, they knew it was Jesus. And all of a sudden, he's filled back with what? With boldness because of his awareness of God. Now, this New Testament idea is for God to jump inside your skin, live inside your body, and then give you the kind of boldness in every situation to know that he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, he's with you always, even unto the end of the age, and he's empowered you to succeed. I mean, it's kind of like a no-brainer, we win. We don't win just when we get to heaven. We win every day. Are y'all doing okay? I think it was Donald Trump that got up and said, we're going to win so much, you're going to be tired of winning. Amen. And if you have a problem because I mentioned his name, shame on you. It was a good statement. If you started winning so much, got used to winning so much, maybe you get tired of winning. But I think if you got over into winning so much, you might actually get to liking it. And then just go on and win a whole bunch more. Okay. So here's this guy, Enoch. I mean, hats off to him. I mean, great, 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 great granddaddy Adam in the garden. I'm sure things were passed along that Adam had a pretty cool experience at one time until he blew it. But there's no instruction manual for Enoch on how to find God. But he stepped out by faith. Now, somebody help me. What does that look like? I'm going to find God by faith. Does faith see something first and then believe? No. So faith is looking at what's unseen. Can you turn over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4 for just a second? Faith is looking at what is unseen. And you know this scripture. Verse 18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, okay, how would you not look at the things which are seen? You'd have to do what? Close your eyes. Right? Okay, and then he goes on to say, but we look at the things which are not seen. In those two first sentences, what's the same word? Seen, but also things. Do you see that? The word seen is in both of those. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. So the word things is duplicated, and the word seen is duplicated. So let's take the word things for a moment. What do things that are seen look like? A chair. Hey, this is a chair. If we were teaching somebody, this is a chair. Maybe you know the chair in another language. If Rin Kim was here, she could tell us the word chair in 7 languages. Right? And it's something we see and we learn that this is a chair. But what about the things of the unseen? Well, in the same manner that things of the seen have substance to them, I mean, this isn't my imagination. I go to sit down and I go right through it and I'm on the floor. This actually can hold me. Well, the things of the unseen are also tangible to the realm of the unseen. Amen. And they will hold you. Are y'all getting this? In other words, we're not believing in the figment of our imagination. Our imagination is tied to the substance of the other world. So when you're believing in something that's not seen, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just is not seen right now. Are y'all okay with this? Because I want to know, what did it look like for Enoch to find God? He would have had to have believed that God existed. Oh, well, that's what it says. It said Enoch believed that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he believes that he is an entity, that he is a being. He's just not seen, but he believes that he can find him. So he believed in the other world that wasn't presently seen. What did he use to find it? Faith. What does faith come from? It comes from the part of you that's not seen. You say, there's a part of me that's not seen? Well, there's a lot of you that's not seen. I mean, we all believe we got brains, but we've never seen them. That was supposed to be actually funny. Say it again. We all believe we have brains, but no one's ever seen them. You do believe in many things that are unseen. If we were to go back, oh, how many years? 30 years. You see, things have so changed now. I mean, I don't even know where they're at, but I mean, I don't know how to get music on my phone, but you can get it on your phone. But years ago, you know, the most recent was CDs, and then before CDs was cassettes, and before cassettes was 8-track, and before 8-track was an actual reel. And I don't think there was anything before that. That reel was about the first thing, okay? Or there were albums, records. Hey, girls in the back, do you know what a record is? Hey, man. I just got to mess with them back there. There's 4 of them back there. Amen. It's good. Do you know what a record is? A record? Yep. So if we go back far enough, we used to actually, and we still do, we tune into frequencies that are not felt, not seen, and not heard unless you have something that can convert what is unseen to the seen realm. And if you have a transistor and a dial that will not only pick up the signal, but tune it in accurately, you can have music, multiple kinds of music. But you don't see it, don't feel it. You hear it once you've tuned into it. So if that's true to this world, why wouldn't that be true to the other world? I'm going to go play my music. Where are you going to get it? Well, it's floating around the air. To be honest with you, it's in the atmosphere. Okay, how's that going to work? Because if somebody didn't know what you were talking about, they think you're a little bit on the crazy side because they don't feel anything, they don't hear anything, they don't see anything, they can't touch anything, they don't smell it, they don't taste it. Your physical senses aren't involved. And yet you're talking about, I'm going to go play some music. You want to go listen to some music? How are you going to get it? Well, it's floating around the atmosphere. I got a transistor. Okay, how's that going to work? Well, just watch. When I turn it on, it'll tap into that frequency. Are you kidding me? Oh my goodness, listen to that music. Where is that band? Well, it's in the air. Oh, I'm not getting this. I'm not getting this at all. I don't understand this. But see, it's simple to us in this particular area. If you could apply that to God, how would you, if you were Enoch, find God? Man, I'm going to find God. You're going to do what? I'm going to find God this afternoon. Well, how are you going to do that? Where is he? Well, he's in the atmosphere. He's everywhere. Well, how are you going to find him if you can't see him? Well, I'm going to turn on my transistor. What's that going to look like? Well, it's called faith. I believe I can find him. And if I believe I can find him, I know I can. Because here's the idea. If God wants you to find him, he can be found. Remember what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 6? He said, ask and you shall what? Receive. So if you ask, it's possible for you to get something. He said, seek and you shall what? Find, which means what needs to be found is available to be found. It's not elusive. It's not trying to get away. It's trying to find you. But you've got to find it because you got to seek. And then it says, knock and what? The door will be open, which means every door can open and every door can close. But you're the one that will close it or open it based on your belief. Woo! That's pretty good stuff. Can I tell you a story now? Man, I'd like, you know, we only have two services, so I'm just kind of just going off the cuff here and saying things, but I mean, sure, if I had multiple services, we'd go ahead and just get one scripture after another. Do you remember when Jesus talked about adultery? He said, even if you haven't done it outwardly, if you've done it inwardly, in your imagination, it's the same thing as having done it outwardly. Now, what does that seem to indicate? That God takes your imaginations for reality.
Yes.
God looks at your imaginations as reality. You say, why is that important? Because God made you in his image and likeness, which is his representation and as a manifestation. When God pictures and conceives of a thing, it's as real as though the thing exists. That's why you see in Genesis chapter 1:1-4, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, how did he do it? Well, the first person of the Trinity that was mentioned was not the Father God, and it was not Jesus. Who is left? The Holy Ghost. It says the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering upon the face of the deep. Do you know what the word hover means? It means to incubate. Why do you have an incubation? Why do you have an incubator? To hatch something by providing warmth. Is that not true? Why does a hen sit on the eggs? To provide warmth so as to hatch. So incubation is to hatch something or to manifest something. And the Holy Ghost is the manifester. Now, this would have been a really struggle if the Holy Ghost was perpetually late. In other words, you couldn't count on him. He was a screw up. And the Father said, Jesus, command light to be. And Jesus went to say, where's the Holy Ghost? The Father says, I don't know. He should be there. He's not. He's never where he's supposed to be. Send out a dispatchment of angels. Find the Holy Ghost. No. What that tells you is the Holy Ghost was hovering, providing warmth, getting ready to do his part before Jesus ever spoke, light be, which means he's always ahead of time. He's here in this room right now to abolish diabetes. He's already warming you up if you have it. So that when we minister to you and you put out this simple little, I believe it's mine right now. Boom! The Holy Ghost takes that belief and brings it to this world as a, I went to the doctor and they can't find any more diabetes. My pancreas is working perfectly and my insulin is normal. Oh my God, thank you, Lord Jesus. But it's not supernatural to the spiritual world. It's real normal. That's what they do. They create realities. But they need the inner working of you to work with them. So if you see yourself sick, man, I just don't feel good. Well, sorry, you ain't getting healed. Yeah, but I'm believing. No, you're not. You're contrary. You're saying one thing, but you're believing another. Well, I was just trying to be real because I feel sick. Okay, what world are you being real in? If you're gonna be real in this world, then you're gonna get the best that this world can give you. And this world is not God's world anymore. What do you mean? He gave it to man, and man messed up and turned the reins over to the devil, and the devil perverted it in the opposite direction that God wanted it to go. So sickness, disease, and poverty, and chaos, and hatred is not God's world. So if you live by how people think reality is here, you can't get help from the other world up there. You have to see like God sees. And faith is looking through a better pair of eyes. Faith sees your answer in Christ before you've even started in your belief. God sees the end from the beginning. What would that be like? Well, I'd be as rich as can be because I could bet on every horse before the horse race started and win it every time. Because why? I saw who crossed the finish line before they even started. I put all my money, I bet the, you guys know this expression, I bet the farm on horse number. Well, that horse ain't going to win. I already saw him winning. You'd be smart to get with me because I saw the end from the beginning. And guess what you'd walk out with? You'd walk out with millions. That would be easy peasy lemon squeezy, wouldn't it? In other words, real simple life, right? Well, don't throw that away as though that's a pipe dream. It's not a pipe. Do you know what a pipe dream is? That's exactly right. I haven't met too many people that actually know that. You go back and, you go back and look that out. It's people smoking a pipe and they're dreaming something. They're seeing something. But it's not a pipe dream. It's the way God operates, everybody. You see things from God's perspective, man, life is good. Jesus took your infirmity, he bore your sickness, he took all your sin, he removed the wall that would hinder you from experiencing the Father God. Every spiritual blessing has been heaped on you, and God daily loads you with new blessings. Beep, 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 beep. That's God's dump truck. He's coming again. Well, I haven't used for the last 10 years anything he's given me. He don't care. He's got too much. He's not El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. The God of more than enough. He keeps loading you down with blessing after blessing. Come on, he fixed this race for you to win before you start. Well, you don't know the trouble I'm in. It's just because you know it all too well that you're not going to get out. Can't look at the circumstances. I don't care how bad they are. My daughter busted up her knee July 4th. She's a gymnast, and they're doing some gymnastics, you know, for this whole little show there at the July 4th, big thing there at the campus in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And she's running down. It's just a normal thing. It's called a double mini. It's a 4-foot little mini tramp that's on an angle and another 4-foot one attached to them that's straight up and down. Or excuse me, that's, you know, a normal platform. And they hit that first one at speed, and it throws them up into the air. And they do a you know, just a big old layout. And then come back down and hit the second one and do a double or a double back and then land. Well, it got so hot that her little footies she had, when she went to take off to go, those footies went and it caused her to go like this in the air. She hit that first one and went up and boom, landed right on her knee on the corner of the trampoline. It's just on the ground, just wallowing in, you know, just pain, crying. My wife looks at me and says, go get her. And everything in me went, no. And I just shut down. And I walked to her like this on purpose. I defy the idea that there's something wrong with her knee. I will not buy into this by running over there because I do not believe in it. I believe that she has good knees. And I walked up to her, and the first thing I had to tell her, because she's heard all the stories and things that I've done by dragging people around the room and stuff like that from the healing center, I looked at her and I said, Daddy will not embarrass you. And then I said, now, we can go to the doctor, and it'll be fine. I'm fine if you want to do it this way. They do a really good job on knee surgeries now. It'll be an outpatient thing, so you won't have to stay in the hospital, and they can fix up those tendons. And then in about 6 months, you can be back in the gym. Or we can do it God's way. And she looked at me. She said, I want to do it God's way. So a lady had already brought ice and put it underneath her knee, and there was another lady over my shoulder that was crunching ice. And so I looked at the lady that brought it here, and I said, so we won't need that. And she just went like this and took it away. And then I looked at the lady, and she just walked, ran away like this because she saw me looking at her. And they were my wife's friends, so I guess they were offended. And Aaron was a little bit mad at me for offending them. I said, oh, well, they'll get over it. He said, you're so mean. No, this is my daughter I'm dealing with. I really don't care if you're offended or not. And so I looked at Drew, and the first question I asked her was, does God make bad knees? She said, no. I said, then why would yours be bad just because it seems like it's hurting? Maybe it's actually fine. I said, let's just prove that it is fine. I said, why don't you get up right now? Let's go get a hot dog. And then go sit down and get ready for the fireworks. So she got up and she started hobbling like this. And I said, come on, honey, the line's getting longer. You need to hurry. You say, oh my God, you're so mean. I'm not buying into that knee. I will not do it. Jesus is too big for that. We made it over. We got our hot dog. She hobbled over to our seat. We went ahead and ate our hot dogs. We watched the fireworks. And afterwards, she hobbled to the car. Now, what I didn't tell you is the very next day, she's supposed to go to London on a missions trip. So we got in the car, went home. She went upstairs. She got ready for bed. And then I went up to her room and I said, okay, let me see those two legs of yours. Pull them out from underneath the covers. And she did. And I said, look at that. Those knees look perfectly the same. She said, you know, they do, don't they? And I said, honey, with what you did, that one knee should be as big as a basketball. How come it's the same? Maybe you have two good knees. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? She said, it does. I said, tomorrow morning, run downstairs, jump up and down on that knee and that leg, and you'll go to your mission trip without a thing wrong. Amen. That next morning, I heard a whole bunch of jumping around downstairs, and I went to see her, said, Dad, perfect, it's perfect. She went on the mission trip. Now, the story goes on a little bit more. When the mission trip was done and they got back, we had one of those little parties so they could all get together and tell all that happened over there. You know, and there were slides and certain, you know, pictures and stuff that they put up, you know, so that we could all see what took place. And we're sitting at this nice table, and I don't really even know the lady sitting next to me, but I guess she was the wife of the main person that took them over there. So the guide or whatever, you know, their chaperone, the main people. She said, I just want to tell all you parents this wonderful testimony. She said, when we got over there, she said, I tripped on the curb and fell on my knee and broke my ankle. And I just wanted to testify that God was so good to me because I was able to keep up with everybody on the whole mission trip with my crutches and my cast. And the kids all prayed for her. So what she taught the kids was, is prayer doesn't work. Because Drew said to me afterwards when I checked with her, I said, so what happened? She said, she fell and she was crying and she was hurting so bad. We all gathered around her and Dad, she said, I knew what God just did for me. I thought she'd jump up well. But the moment we said amen, her husband comes over, grabs her, picks her up, and takes her to the hospital. See, he didn't believe a thing, except that she was hurt and she needed the doctors to help her. Which, that's okay if that's the way you want to go. And thank God she kept up with everybody while she was crutching. But is that the best and the highest? No. And what did she teach all those kids? So I looked at her and I said, well, actually, I have something to say about that. And all of a sudden, I felt five claws in my thigh And it went so deep that I went, ah, and I looked like this, and my wife is staring about 2 inches around. She goes, don't you dare. So I couldn't tell her what I wanted to tell her. The other world. Now listen real closely to this, and it'll make sense to you. And then we'll stop, because we're learning to believe in the other world. What does it look like? So Brother Hagin had an interesting testimony years and years ago. And if you don't know who Brother Hagin is, Kenneth E. Hagin was a prophet. He ministered some 68 years of ministry, a real wonderful ministry, and didn't have, you know, the scandal in it like a lot of them do. He was very careful with money, very accurate as a prophet. And we were a part of his ministry, and I worked with him in prayer school and healing school for 10 years and traveled with him in the crusade team for 7. So I was with him for 17 years. So when he was young, at 16 years of age, he came down with an incurable blood disease, a deformed heart, and paralysis, and he's in the bed. And in the course of that next year, the doctors came and looked at him and basically said, son, you don't have much time left. We're going to tell all of your relatives that you don't have much time. And he couldn't talk. He'd just get a couple words out. And he said, inside, I'm screaming, I ain't dead yet. And he grabbed the hold of a Bible, and he could only turn one page a day in the summertime because it was hot. But in the wintertime, when it wasn't as hot, he could turn 2 or 3 pages. And he grabbed the Bible, he kissed it because it said Holy Bible. It meant that much to him. And he turned to the table of contents, and he saw an old covenant and a new covenant. And he said, I don't know how much time I have to live, so I'm going to start in the new covenant. So somebody help me where he started. Chapter 1, verse 1 of what book? That's right, Matthew. And he made it through Matthew. He made it into Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. And she touched the hem of Jesus. The power went into her. She felt that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, knowing that something had gone out of him, turned around to the crowd and said, who touched me? The disciples said, Master, look at the crowd and the throng. What do you mean, who touched me? And Jesus, knowing, looked at this woman and she told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Brother Hagin, when he read that, said, if her faith could make her whole, my faith can make me whole. So he made it over to chapter 11. Everybody thinks he wrote that chapter. He did not. He just spent a lot of time there where Jesus cursed the fig tree and it dried up, help me, from the root, which is really interesting, isn't it? The disciples, seeing that the next day as they passed by, said, Jesus, look at the fig tree. It dried up from the roots. And Jesus said, have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. And you know the next verse, verse 23, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and doubt not in his heart. That word heart means imagination. Oh, now we're back to the imagination thing. In other words, how would you doubt? By seeing the wrong picture. But believes where? In your heart. What does the word heart mean? Imagination. You believe in the picture that God gives you. When I see Jesus taking the stripes upon his back, 39 stripes, and they all represented sickness and disease, I see right there my sickness put on his back. When I see that picture, it gives me a belief to say no to sickness. Does it mean I'll never be tempted to be sick? No, it just means I don't have to take the temptation. Just because someone knocks on the door doesn't mean you open it. Nowadays, you don't open it until you know who's on the other side. Things have changed from the day that I grew up where no one's door was locked. How many grew up in the era where you left your keys in your car that was outside in your driveway all night long? Anybody else? Yes, you understand what it was like back then. We were friends. We knew our neighbors. You had to know them. Today, all you got to have is just your little phone staring at you and you text them. If we can't actually function with people that we can see, how are we going to function with God who you initially can't see? He got to verse 24. Therefore, listen closely as we're closing some of these thoughts. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And after some time thinking about that verse, he got frustrated and said these words, "Lord Jesus, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but if you were personally present right now in the flesh and told me I don't believe, I'd call you a liar because I know I do." You ever heard that before? I have. I've heard people say, "I know I believe." Well, how come it ain't working?
I don't know.
Well, guess what the Holy Ghost said? You believe as far as you know. In other words, it doesn't mean you don't believe something, but maybe you don't see the whole picture. Maybe there's more to see. Now, let me throw this out. This is just a little piece of meat, but it's really good. If you want to be right, you have to be willing to be wrong. If you're willing to be wrong, grace will help you to be right. If you're willing to lose something, grace will help you to hold on to it. And if you're willing to die, the grace of God will help you to live. All right. He said that out loud. Don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'd have to call you a liar if you told me I don't believe because I know I do. All of a sudden, he hears God's voice. How did he hear God's voice? We read that this morning about Elijah. Was God in the earthquake? No. Was God in the fire? No. Was God in the great wind? No. Where was God? In the still, small voice. Back then, they didn't have anything but a transistor radio. He couldn't get out of bed because he was paralyzed, so he couldn't go over there to turn it on. He's in the home where it's quiet and it's still. So hearing the voice of God doesn't have competition. I'll say it again, to hear the voice of God doesn't have competition. Oh, I have to impress this upon you with the few seconds that we've got left. Every single miracle has the Holy Ghost involved. And if you're not walking in your miracle, you're hindering the Holy Ghost from being him. He doesn't change people. He doesn't heal one and then decide not to heal another. He doesn't help one out of a jam, but says, "No, you just got yourself in it, then get yourself out." No, he's there as the, help me with this, as the helper, as the counselor, as the guide, right? As the intercessor, as the advocate, as the strengthener, as the standby. And if you don't feel his strength, you don't feel him standing by you, you don't feel him guiding you or acquitting you, then in some way you're hindering him because he has to always do his job. He heard the Holy Ghost say, "You believe as far as you know." And it inspired him because he thought, at least I'm on the right track. And then it helped him to understand you can't have faith for something you don't know. So we got back into those scriptures, and it didn't take him long getting back into the scriptures. And all of a sudden he says, "I see it, I see it, I see it. I'm trying to have it before I believe it's mine." Let me say that again. He said, "I see it. I'm trying to have it before I believe it. It says, therefore, whatsoever things you believe," you have to believe it first. When he said that, he said out loud, "I believe I receive healing for the deformed heart. I believe I receive healing for the incurable blood disease. I believe I receive healing for this paralysis." When he said that, the Holy Ghost said, "Now you believe you're well." He said right out loud in response, "That's right, that's right. I believe I'm well." The Holy Ghost said, "Well, people ought to be up at 10:30 in the morning." I use that against my kids when they were sleeping too long. On a Saturday, you know. "Well, people ought to be up at 10:30 in the morning." Brother Hagin said to himself, "How does a paralyzed person get up?" And he pushed his legs over the bed. They hit like chunks of wood to the floor. He said in his ears, like machine gun bullets, was the devil saying, "You can't get up, you're paralyzed. You can't get up, you're paralyzed. You can't get up, you're paralyzed. This ain't going to work. You know it's not going to work for you. You don't believe like you should." And the devil's working against him, what? To make that next step, because in that next step is his miracle. He grabbed a hold of the bed and pulled himself up on the end of the bed, grabbed the bedpost, and held himself there while he said, "In the presence of Almighty God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and any devils that may be here, I thank God, I believe I receive my healing." And the devil said, "You're not healed." He said, "I didn't say I am." He said, "I said I believe I am." Now notice, If his belief was translated by the Holy Ghost to say, now you believe, you're well, notice what God sees about when you believe. Notice what God sees about your imagination. You are made in the image and likeness of God, and when you imagine a thing to be so and believe that it's yours, heaven says it's done. You still may not see it here, but if God were talking to you, and he is, yay, God. Amen. I was never a cheerleader, thank God, and I never will be. But I think they did stuff like this. Yay, God. Amen. Why? Go, team, go. See, the moment someone believes, heaven's all excited. Woo! We got a believer here, which means he's making something real. He's pulling out of this world and bringing it into this world. And God would say to a paralyzed man, now you believe you're well. That's right, I do. I believe I'm well. Well, then well people are up. You mean he's not going to heal them first? When you believe it's done, it's done. While he's sliding down the bedpost saying, thank you, Lord, I believe I received my healing. He said it felt like honey hit him in the top of the head. And all of a sudden, he's standing straight. And he never went back to the bed. I share the testimony only because it so perfectly highlights when you believe. Oh, brother, I'm trying to believe. Well, don't try. Does a dog try to bark or does he just bark? Does a cat think about meowing or barking? So he decides, I'll meow today, but bark tomorrow. Remember, we're the only creation of God that screws up who we really are. Because animals don't have that thought process, they just function according to the way God made them. If we could get out of our heads and just function as human beings, we wouldn't mess this thing up. But religion and tradition has told you things like, well, that's not going to work. You can't get an answer to prayer that way. Well, go to the Bible. If you can read, you can. Well, we don't believe that. That went out with the apostles. Who said? See, that tripped me up all my life. You know what was the worst part of Scripture that messed me up for basically my whole life? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation of those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I wanted to not be condemned, but I had to walk according to the Spirit, not the flesh. Guess what I found out years ago? That some little scribe wrote that second part in there on his own, that the real Scripture says there is no condemnation, period. He added, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because think about it. If I'm walking in the Spirit and not the flesh, why would I be condemned if I didn't do anything wrong? But he added that. And for years, I just kept on thinking, Lord, I just can't do everything right. I want to get to the day where I don't have to be condemned, where I can just live in peace. And here I could have lived in peace the whole time. But religion tripped me up. Has religion tripped some of you up? Has it stolen from you this place of being able to believe? And heaven looks at your belief and says, there it is. It's completely done. And now you're ready to act on that belief. But religion steals that from you and removes the Holy Ghost. You see, we're right back to where we were. What's up? What's next, Papa? Right back to the same place. God being real in your life, the Holy Ghost will always speak to you. He'll always lead you and he'll always encourage you. Well, isn't he condemning me? No. He only condemns the world of sin. He doesn't condemn the world of sins, John 16. He condemns the world of sin. What's the sin he condemns the world of? Of not receiving Christ. But to the believer, he convicts you of your righteousness. Why? Because he knows you're always going to go back to your flesh to determine, I don't feel worthy. I just haven't done enough right. Oh, I would love to have God love me and touch me, but it just never works for me. And the Holy Ghost to sit on your shoulder and said, it works every time for you. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You're perfect and you're holy. Now think about this. How holy would you have to be in order for the Holy Spirit to live inside of you? Wouldn't you have to be as holy as him? I mean, it's not a dirty ghost or Casper the Friendly Ghost that comes to live in you. It's the Holy Ghost, which means God makes you so perfect and so holy that your spiritual nature is of his actual substance, that he can actually jump inside and live in your... Do you know one translation in Galatians 2 says this, I've died and now I'm enjoying my second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. What? Jesus is using my body? He's really living in me? Oh, there's so much for us to see and so much for us to believe. Can you see some of these things tonight? The presence of God is real in this place. How do you know? Because I can sense it right now. How do you sense it? Out of my spirit. Do you ever feel it? A lot of times. It'll get like heat and hot in my hands. I had that heat in my hands in Montgomery, Alabama, just a couple months ago. Now, I have it a lot, but I mean, I had it back then. My hand was so hot, the inside of my hand was so red, it looked like I'd grabbed a coal of fire in my hands. And the pastor came up. I'd already ministered to all the people. When he got up to the pulpit, he just stopped and just started to waver back and forth. He says, whoa, the anointing of God is so strong up here. And then he couldn't talk. And he tried to get and articulate the end of the service. Well, when he did that, I put my hand on the back of my wife. Now, normally, if my hand's hot like that, she'll just remove my hand because it's too hot. And she'll say that to me all the time. You're too hot. Now, that's not how it started. When I married her, these bricks of ice came and found that inner part of my thigh. And I said, what in the world, second night of our marriage? She said, it's just my feet. Can I put them there? And I said, did you have your footies on? She said, I did. I said, no one's feet can be this cold and you're still alive. Is this what it means for better and worse? And oh my goodness, you know, she'd stick those feet on you anywhere she could, just freeze you to death, you know. But now things have changed over all these years, and now it's like, get over on your own side of the bed. It's too hot, too hot, too hot. So anyhow, I had my hand on her back for about 5 minutes. And when I took, listen to this, when I took it off, my hand had oil all in it and gold dust all over my hand. So I don't believe that. Well, listen, I didn't either. I was just so excited that happened because my wife had been having it happen all the time. Gold dust show up all over her pants. What is that? That's just a sign of the glory. I said, it's just a sign of the glory. There is so much more for us to experience in him, and he wants to show us signs. And what do you say? Why do we need the signs? Oh, okay. How'd you get to the place you need to get to unless you saw the sign? Right? I mean, when you see a sign that says 10 miles, 5 miles, 3 miles, you start getting yourself ready to get out of the car because you know you're almost there. Well, see, God shows us signs. Do you know the Bethlehem Star was comprised of 3 planets that came together and had such a bright shining that the Magi were able to follow that star? Do you know about 2 years ago in the summer, the Bethlehem Star appeared again for the second time in history of the world? The first time it appeared, the constellation was Virgo for the virgin birth. A couple of years ago when it appeared, the sign was Leo for the lion of the tribe of Judah. The stars are telling you that he came as a baby, but he's coming back as a king. I'm telling you, God's got signs, God's got wonders. Isn't it interesting in the last 4 years that 167 predatory birds have showed up in Israel? What do you mean? Well, in the Battle of Megiddo, the bodies are going to be stacked up to the waist high, and the Bible says the birds of the air will eat those bodies and clean them up. And 167 species of predatory flesh-eating birds have showed up in Israel. How close are we? Do you know that a fox was spotted on the Temple Mount? That's in the scriptures. Do you know they found fish alive in the Dead Sea? That was in the scriptures. Folks, we are at the end of all things. Why do we see the lawlessness that we see in the earth? Because that was prophesied right in the last day. It'll be like the day of Noah. And in the day of Noah, what distinguished that day is they did evil continually. They didn't stop. It was continually. When you can watch the New York Times TV of all these nurses getting together and clapping and rejoicing because you can go ahead and now take a baby out of the womb when it's 9 months and kill it. And they're clapping. Something's drastically wrong. It's a sick, lawless society, and Jesus is coming back. I know in one sense you don't have to get healed because if you die, you go right into glory. But I've found this to be true because I almost died a couple of times with a bowel that was resected. It burst within me and I'm on the floor. I looked up to my wife and said, we don't have insurance, so you can't take me to the hospital. They'll take all our money. And we didn't have that much to take. And then I said to her this. I said, I'm not dying because you're really pretty and somebody else is going to marry you and that's going to tick me off and make me want to come back. I said, so give me a few Advil, stick me up in the bed, and we're going to figure this out. And within the next couple of weeks, I figured it out. Went to a meeting at 135 pounds. I'm 180 right now. I was sunken in like I was a dead man. I couldn't walk straight. I talked like this. I had no strength left in my body. And I took my golf clubs. I couldn't even lift them. When I got out of the car to go to the airport, Aaron lifted my suitcase out and my golf clubs out, and I grabbed them and said, see you later, and walked to the plane. When the pastor saw me, he said, oh, my dear God, what happened to you? When I told him, he said, you just take a vacation. I'll do the preaching. I said, if you do the preaching, you'll send me home in a 6-foot pine box. I'm doing the preaching. By the next afternoon, my bowels started functioning normal. Now, I know that's not a great topic in public, but I was shouting the victory over them functioning normal. Maybe you've never actually been excited about your bowels functioning normal, but I was very excited about my bowels functioning normal. And in this next service I got in, I ran because I was so excited, but I could only run about this fast, and Grandma went by me, three times. So I found what it was like to die. And you'd almost have to die to get better. But once they started functioning, I came back 25 pounds heavier within 5 days. God touched my body, set me free. There's nothing in the world like being touched by Jesus. And he wants to touch anybody in this room, especially near that diabetes garbage. That's of Satan himself trying to steal your life. Power of Jesus Christ going to go into the bodies of you young folks back there and set you free. This young girl right here, you want to be done with that? I want you to be done with that, and I don't even know you. Because that's a work of the devil. And I know we do what we need to do to survive, but now it's time to thrive. Now it's time to go over. Now it's time to experience his goodness and his faithfulness of how God heals and sets people free. We've got a guy in the healing center. Years ago, I ministered to him, type 1 diabetes. Within just a week, it disappeared. He's been free from type 1 diabetes for some 20 years. I didn't even know it, and he finally told me the testimony. I said, well, that's a good testimony to know so we can share with others that God doesn't just heal type 3, he heals type 1. Oh, thank you, Lord. I can sense his spirit right now. The presence of the Lord is so good. Would you lift your hands as though God is actually like a cloud in the old covenant that he's in this room? Would you just worship him like he's actually here and he wants to touch you and you have such gratitude in your heart? You can't wait for the Lord to set you free. I saw myself just walk over, put my hand on you. There's something about you guys just sitting up here. But I thank you, Lord, for the anointing and the presence of God moving down through this man's spine and giving him such absolute victory. Praise the Lord. He wakes up and he does things he couldn't do for a very long time. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Father, we just give you praise and we worship you and we adore you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Say it with me. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Say it one more time. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Young lady, would you come on up here? And do you have your brother with you? Isn't it your brother that also needs to be prayed for? If you could maybe grab him. Just go get him, sir. Thank you. just go get him. We'll pray for him. And you know what? For some reason, I need to pray for them before we pray for anybody else. Is that okay? So we'll just wait here for a second. Amen. I mean, 7 o'clock. What else are you going to do at home? Nothing. So we got a couple more minutes, and we're not just trying to keep you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good, and his mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. You say, oh, I can't see him. Well, that's where you believe. When you read a scripture that says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that should give you a picture. If I said when I was young, I had yellow hair and I took my brown dog, put him in a red wagon, went down to my friend's house, went through the white picket fence and played all afternoon on their green, green grass, you would have a picture of a little boy that had yellow hair with a brown dog in a red wagon playing on green grass as he went through a white picket fence. You would picture that. See, words make a picture, and a picture paints 1,000 words. We've heard that, right? So when you hear Christ in you, the hope of glory, what does that do? It opens up a picture to your heart. You see Christ in you, and now his glory being distributed to people to set them free in the same exact way that Jesus did it 2,000 years ago. He's doing it through you. Can you say amen? Yes. Sir, do you mind bringing them up? And we'll do this so he doesn't have to worry about anything. Young lady, you can just sit right here with Dad. Sit right here on the seat. Father, I thank you right now ahead of time. See, faith sees the answer. I thank you ahead of time that you had these two youngsters involved and in mind when Jesus took diabetes and took sickness on the cross. You had their names already. And you saw this moment and you saw this day. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious, amazing work. I lay hands on you because Jesus said believers will lay. Oh, how many believers we got in here? Yes. Believers will lay hands on. See, I sense right now the prayers of the saints going out toward her. And I release you, honey, from diabetes. It'll no longer in its heinous way touch your body, hinder your life. And from this moment, you'll go on to strength and health forever. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command diabetes to get off of this boy's body and no longer touch his life. From this moment, amen, he's healed and he's free. Thank you, Lord. Wow, praise the Lord. Worship the Lord for just a moment. Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you're doing. We give you praise. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Let's just choose in the next couple of minutes while we open the altar for you to come if you need prayer. Now, listen, I've done this a long time. Pastors almost always will say to me afterwards, there were some people that didn't come up, they needed prayer. Or you always get this one, so-and-so was home because he was feeling sick. Hello, we're having a healing meeting. See, I've done this a long time. I know how it works. So if you're here and you need something, why not give the Lord an opportunity to touch your life? You're already doing what you're doing. What if it doesn't work? It's already not working. You can't have something new doing the same old thing. Right? Is there anybody that would say, I'd like to have ministry and believe God, because that belief is just as real as heaven itself. Anybody like that? Then come on up and let us minister to you right now. God will set you free. God will touch you. He's faithful. Praise the Lord to do it. Amen. And do it time and time again. Thank God for those kids. How many of you just want to thank the Lord one more time for these two young folks here, for their healing, for their deliverance? Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, don't we need to like stand on our head or, you know, turn around to do something? No, the Lord did all that for us, okay? We can just enjoy the next 24 hours watching how actually healthy these young folks start out and how they finish as well. Amen? Man, what did you need? The diabetes too? Yeah, well, you don't need that. Step up here just a little bit. Hallelujah. Now, do you know what jumper cables do? Yeah, I'll do, sure. You know, I mean, one battery's, you know, empty or it's malfunctioning, but you got another battery that's full of electricity. And so you put those jumper cables on, and then you're able to jump the other car with the electricity that came from the one that's full. So my hands are like jumper cables. So put your hands on mine. So in the name, that went right into you right there. In the name of Jesus, diabetes don't stand a chance. In fact, Jesus is healing you right now. Diabetes, come out of this body. We do declare and set this dear woman free. That'll be the end of it right there. You'll see things turn around right here tonight. Jesus, wonderful name. Amen, amen. You understand jumper cables, don't you? What do you need? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, the first thing I'm going to say to you, God really loves you, and his love will remove any feelings about even yourself, because a lot of times autoimmune has a lot to do with confliction and even with your own life. You say, well, how do you know that? Can I tell you a quick story? Can you handle a real quick story? I dealt with that. And here I am at a meeting a couple of years ago, and a guy came over to my wife and I. We were speakers at this meeting, but there were other speakers, a conference. And one of the guys came over, and he touched my shoulder here, my wife over here, and he got in front of us, and he began to pray. He's a prophet. And he began to pray out. And many have come against you, but you've stayed in my perfect will, and I'm pleased with you. And everything he said was about five different things, and at the end, he kept saying, I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with you. Now, while he's saying that, I'm saying to myself, Lord, how can you be pleased with me when I'm not pleased with myself? I've got so much more to do, and I should be so much further along, and I've screwed up so much. Oh, God, how can you be pleased? And I'm fighting that. So I went back to the room. My wife's getting ready for bed, and I just popped off kind of with an attitude to the Lord, and I said, all right, if you're pleased with me, then prove it. And I went to bed. The next day in service, I'm smelling roses for a half an hour. So strong, I might as well have been in the cold area where they keep all the roses. It was like I breathed them in and breathed them out. I finally nudged Erin. I said, are you smelling flowers? She said, no, I'm not smelling anything. And then I knew. I was with Brother Hagin years ago, and he said to the whole congregation while I was standing right next to him, do y'all smell that? And I did. It smelled like roses. You know what he said? That's the fragrance of heaven. Do you know what else he said next to that? He said that fragrance means God is pleased with us. And for a half an hour, I'm smelling that. And I finally, with tears down my face, said, okay, I give. If you're really that pleased with me, then I'll be pleased with me too. And I smelled it for another half hour. You can't go to the next level if you don't enjoy the one you're on. So I don't know if that pertains to you or not, but I wanted to tell you that, because autoimmune means nothing when you know how pleased he is of you, how pleased he is, how much he loves you, and how honored he is to touch you, and how he wakes up in the morning with a smile on his face when he looks at you. And if you'll allow yourself to feel those same feelings and emotions of God's love, that autoimmune disease doesn't stand a chance like a snowball in hell. Amen. It literally disappears from you tonight in his precious and wonderful name. Whew, glory. Man, there's a presence of God in this room. I'll be right back. Let's just touch this little baby. Is just having difficulty, sinuses and all that stuff? Congestion? Well, how many believe that a cough on a little baby for 3 months is okay? Oh, I didn't think so. Now, Jesus said something amazing. He said, if you'll loose whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. He said, if you bind something on the earth, I'll bind it in heaven. In other words, he's saying, whatever you say, according to my truth, I'll back you up. How many believe we can say, stop to this cough? In the wonderful name of Jesus, little one, I command all of that congestion, that cough that's produced, come out of this little body be healed and be blessed from this moment on. And who backs us up? Jesus does. That'll be it. You'll have an amazing testimony within even 24 hours. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Something's going on in this. Was it a Pentecostal church? I don't know what you are.
It's a relationship.
Huh? Hallelujah. I'll be right back to you. What'd you come needing?
I just need prayer over our marriage and just everything.
Yeah. Join your hands together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And put them together where I can get my hands because I only got one hand because I got the microphone in my other. Now in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus, we use that name to allow him to be in the midst of both of you. So where two or three are gathered in my name and come into agreement, and we all side with you in agreement that your marriage is so blessed and the peace of God abides in each one of your hearts and the love of God is bigger than strife and turmoil, and that when we lay our flesh down and act from our heart, there's no marriage that will ever see difficulty or the divorce court. So from this moment, in Jesus' name, be healed and be free and be whole. And any obstruction or distraction, I command to step aside. Thank you, Lord, for your victory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I see you come. Hallelujah. You did. It's time to get them legs motoring, isn't it?
Especially the left knee.
The left knee. Well, you got a good right one?
Much better than the left.
How do you feel about the right one when you use it? Like pretty good, don't you? Because it works pretty well, right? Do you think God gave you a bum knee on the left side?
No.
In other words, he was just one-sided the day he created you and could only give you one good one. Or did he give you two good ones?
I believe he gave me two.
Can you think about the left one like you've been thinking about the right one?
I can try.
Yeah, you can give those same feelings and emotions to that left one right now. In other words, by faith, wow, I've got a good left knee. By faith, I don't have pain anymore. By faith, Jesus is my healer. And I'm more prone to believe him than I am my own body because he's the one that made it. Doesn't that seem to give the creator of what you've got more attention than even what you've got? Oh, I think so. So in that precious, wonderful presence of the Lord, we release your left knee. That's it. It just went into you right there. Come on, walk with me. You'll see. You'll see. You'll see. Walk with me. Yeah, you can. Come on. Don't pay attention to it. Just walk. Hey, man. Yeah, that's right. Don't pay attention. Just walk. Because you can. You see how positive I am?
Yes.
Because I know it works. I've seen people a lot worse than you running around the room before the night was over. Amen. Amen. Wow. Let's turn around and do that one more time, and you'll see. Amen. By the time you come around the next time, come around the next corner, amen, you'll be ready to take off like a deer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, now walk. Walk normal because you can. God is the healer of both knees. He's not only the creator, but the healer. Since he's got your blueprint, there's no one that can do what Jesus is doing right now. All the medical science in the world can't do what Jesus is doing right now. Come on, walk a little faster. You're going to keep us here all night long. Now, you just entered into a new world of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we've been knowing that verse for a long time, but haven't been using it. Now we're using it. That's what it looks like to use it. You say, well, maybe she still hurts a little. Well, maybe you ought to keep your thoughts to yourself. Because maybe she's a whole lot more healed than you know. And if that's even a possibility, I'd rather explore that possibility than go back to thinking according to how I feel. Maybe you can do more than you've ever thought. He's inside of you. Wow. Amen. The last lady I worked with like this, I made her so mad but I stood enough far away she couldn't hit me. And then she wanted to run after me, and when she did, she found out she could run, but she still couldn't catch me. Now, I was nice to you.
I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. Amen. This is a very hospitable place. Praise the Lord. People using yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I appreciate that very much. I grew up in upstate New York where you just said, hey, what? Amen. Didn't realize how rude I was until I came down to L.A. That's Lower Alabama. I was there for about 6 months. And Lower Arkansas. Either way you want it. Amen. The Lord just did something for you. Now, you can sit down for a couple minutes. Then when you get up, experiment with it again. What do you mean by that? When you get up and say, Lord, so good to have a really good left knee. Thanks for helping me walk. And then start walking. And then do it again. And then do it again. And the further you go, the better you go. Until next time they see you, you just be walking in here like anybody else walks in here.
Yep. That's right.
He's the strength of my life. That's got to mean more than just saying it and not seeing it. Now you're starting to see it. There's a connection. So you're the last. Oh, we got another one here. Amen. Just two more. What do you need?
So this is not the shape and the form that God has in mind.
Yeah.
And so I believe it's not here.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe that supernatural weight loss, sleep apnea, it's not who I am in glory.
Yeah.
And it's gone.
Okay. So then put your trust. Hey, young lady, how's that leg doing today? Well, you knew I was going to talk to you. Yeah? Y'all just lift your hands for one more moment. Come on, we're closing. Lift your hands for one more moment. Yeah. What's your name, sweetheart? Ann? Okay? Let's just all thank the Lord together for Ann's leg or was it foot or the leg? Ankle, for Ann's ankle being completely restored. Lord, we just thank you that you are a person, a being of your word. You cannot lie. You're not a man that you should lie. So you are faithful to do everything you've already said. And we thank you that Ann's ankle is so perfect, even tonight when she goes to sleep. She literally will have no more pain. And the doctors will see that her healing has sped up so perfectly. And everything's in the proper place. And we thank you for that. Amen, amen. Brother, take according to your faith, take a deliverance and a healing to your body. And the Lord will give you strength. And if you'll listen to him and include him in everything you do, he'll show you how to lose the weight. He'll give you creative ideas about what you need.
Amen.
For the Lord is with you, and his strength is with you, and his anointing is upon you.
Thank you.
So use it, and you'll have what you see. Amen.
Amen.
How about you, sir?
I'm diabetic.
Yeah.
And also lost most of my eyesight.
Most of your eyesight. Well, the Lord is good, isn't he? So in the name of the Lord Jesus, amen, amen. You can feel him touching you right now. I said you can feel him touching you right now. We just speak to the eyes to mend and reverse their condition from almost blind to full sight. And this diabetes doesn't have anything on you anymore. For Jesus is your healer. And we see it, we walk in it, and we believe it. In the wonderful name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, ma'am.
I have three, but they're not for me.
Yeah.
One's for him, one's for him.
Yeah, okay.
So he is
hey, buddy.
I'm not sure if it's teething or...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's battling congestion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we just thank God that that'll really change, okay? Just like this little baby up here, things have turned around. And we'll get testimony to how that cough is not there and how the breathing is just perfect. What a cute little boy. Amen? So, Mama, take healing and blessing for the other two. And you stand in place. Well, then let the anointing of God come on you. And God touch you thoroughly, 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 through and through. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
I got to get an MRI this Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's possible to tear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Surgery. So thank you, Lord Jesus.
Why don't you stretch your hands out here and get involved and just pray with me? Amen. 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 Well, you felt the Lord this morning. Amen. So I know you know he's real.
Amen.
Even in this shoulder right here tonight. Praise the Lord. Man, take a healing right now. Complete and full. Not partial, but complete and full. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That pain disappear, strength return. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 What if, before you got home, you could already tell a difference?
Amen.
Would that even be possible?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Watch what happens. Watch what happens before you get home. All right, we got a little one. Yep.
One more. She's got a herniated belly.
Yeah. We just speak to the herniated belly. Amen. Lord, I don't really care how you do it. It's just it goes back where it should. Because you're God, you're Lord, and the Holy Ghost is the worker of this miracle.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you lift your hands as we're going ahead and stopping now. Father, thank you so much for our time, for these wonderful people, for the things that you've said that become to us truth. And we're going to live in it, walk in it, and enjoy it all the days of our life. Amen and amen, Pastor.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You show Brother Jim our appreciation just for being here. Thank you so much for coming. Just such a blessing. How many of y'all were blessed today? Today. Awesome. Awesome. I'm stirred up. Are you? This is not just for him to come and do this, but this is for us to walk in. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. This is normal Christianity. Amen. So this is just another step for us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to pray and dismiss you in prayer. I want to encourage you to go ahead and visit his book table. And one thing I've always appreciated every meeting I've been in, he's always willing to be back there and answer questions and talk to me. And so take advantage of that. Praise the Lord. Father God, just thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for all the... I just thank you for the heart of the Father, Lord, that it's your nature and it's who you are, that you want to do these things, that you Jesus took those stripes to make all of this a reality, Lord, and we thank you for it, and we receive it from you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, be blessed.